Good morning, and thanks for tuning in once again to Studies in the Gospels, right here on the Gospel Radio Network. Hello, my name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program, where each week we examine the life of Christ from the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And right now we are studying Jesus's teachings in the Perea area, and today we're going to be in Luke chapter 15, and we're going to consider one of the parables of our Lord this morning, and that being the parable of the lost coin, and that is found in verses 8 through 10. So join me as we look at this fascinating account or parable that illustrates to us the importance of every soul. Now the setting for this parable is the same as that of the parable of the lost sheep. And the Lord again is using this parable to illustrate to us the importance of one individual to God. Notice our text, Luke 15, verses 8 through 10. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So let's spend a few minutes now considering this parable. So we find a woman that had 10 coins. The woman discovers that she has lost one of the 10 coins, and she diligently searches through the house until she discovers the lost coin. The common silver coins of the first century were often worn as ornaments by the women of that day, and they were highly valued by them. And we find that they were frequently handed down from mother to daughters within families, according to historians. We might also consider that most of the dwellings of that time did not have windows. And to search for an object as small as a coin would require the lighting of a lamp, according to verse 8. Now, in this parable, the lost coin, like the lost sheep that we studied last week, represent the lost sinner. And though these two parables are similar, there is some subtle differences between this parable and the parable of the lost sheep. For consider that the lost sheep knows when it is lost. However, the coin, being an inanimate object, is not aware of the fact that it is lost. You see, many people today are like the lost coin. They are lost, but they do not know it. And this is the case with many today. especially with many of our denominational friends. The physical coin would have carried the image of Caesar on it. Remember Luke chapter 20 and verse 24? Jesus said, "Show me a denarius. Whose image and description does it have?" They answered and said, "Caesar's." In the spiritual sense, every lost sinner also bears the image of his King, Creator. We certainly can understand this when we remember the beginning of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So we certainly bear the image of God, just as a coin bears the image of some representative of a nation. But now, a lost coin, in fact, is of absolutely no use to its owner. It is lost. It is separated from him. But can't we see that a lost sinner is of no usefulness to God? The lost coin still has value to its owner, and they want it back. The lost sinner also is still of great value to God, and God desires to recover the lost sinner back. The woman in our parable would use every available means to recover her lost coin. Consider that she lit a candle to give light to her search. She swept out the house from one end to the other, and she kept searching for it until she found it. Our God will also use every available means to recover a lost saint. Consider that men are called out to from His Word. Through His Word, God is pleading for man to come back to Him. God works through His providence, providing opportunity for man to return to Him. And He certainly works through faithful Christians that follow the biblical plan to restore the erring by going to the individual personally. That failing by taking witnesses, and by that failing, telling it to the church, and finally, if necessary, the withdrawing of fellowship. Oh, how God cares for His saints. He cares when they wander. He cares for the alien sinner who has never come to Him. He desires them to come. He will use all available means but force to recover the lost. When the woman found her coin, she called her neighbors together, and we see that they rejoiced greatly. And so again, we see the love of God reflected in His joy over the lost being found. We're also told that there is joy among the angels. The angels have a great interest in the salvation of men. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you." In those days of the early church, when the miraculous element was still in existence at that time, these things operated openly in the interest of the salvation of man. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." You see the interest of the angel there in playing a part. In Acts chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, "About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius." You see, the angels had a great interest. But angels, however, they do not preach the gospel. That is not their role. That has been given to men. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says that here concerning the gospel being given to men to deliver. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Following the miraculous age, angels do not have the ability to operate as they did during the miraculous times of the early days of the church. There is no need. We have the complete revelation available in the Word, and there is no need for them to reveal anything to man today, for we have everything. However, angels do have a mission today in some form and fashion in ministering to those who are heirs of salvation. For Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" So let's now consider things that we need to take away from the parable of the lost coin. One thing is that there is certainly a state of being lost. An individual will find themselves lost when they have turned from God's will, from God's plan. Secondly, we can see that, yes, there are those who are lost, but God is constantly seeking the lost. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. We see that yes, there are lost, that God is constantly seeking the lost, and God will use all available scriptural means to recover those who are lost. Even to the point of the practice of church discipline, whether man today wants to do that or not. But it is up to man for that to happen. But that is God's desire. Oh, how sad when the church rebels against God's plan for recovering the lost. In fact, instead of bringing those back, does it lead to those who fail to be cast away? We also ought to be encouraged in our efforts to reach the lost, knowing that the angels also have an interest. Remember 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desired to look into. So indeed, even angels have an interest in the salvation of men. Great lessons for us from the parable of the lost coin. I want to thank you for being with me today. I hope you'll come back next week, if the Lord wills, as we consider the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. I hope you'll join us. So, remember, this program will be replayed this evening at this same time, 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or two. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a wonderful day.